The message the Lord has laid on my heart may be a little emotional for me. I hope you can bear with me. If you will, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Maybe I'll share a little bit of history. I wish I could remember the first part of this history better than I do. But I remember in my younger years, meeting older people from the community, and especially that had been living close to Waynesboro, used to talk about there's several hills in Waynesboro, and we talk about I don't remember very clearly how they shared this, but they talked about being able to stand on a certain hill in Waynesboro, and you could see all the churches that were in the town of Waynesboro, and it was very few. Well, that has increased as well as the population has. And I was told the other day that the city of Waynesboro, for the size of, I think it has maybe 23 or 24,000 residents. And I was told that there's no other city in the whole state of Virginia, for the size of its population, that has as many churches as Waynesboro does. And so it exceeds all other cities with that population in the state of Virginia by the amount of churches that it has. And we could say, well, that's wonderful. Well, this man that told me this, he said, I really don't think it's that good. He said, we can't even pray together. We have to have another church. And there's some value if our motives are to spread the gospel. But if these things happen because of dissatisfaction, that's another thing. So we say that for what it's worth, but I trust this morning that we are here to worship God. The last several days, the reality of the nearness of the ordination, forthcoming ordination, has been pressing on my heart and mind. The blessing as well as the adjustment that this will bring to the life and family of someone, as well as all of us as a body of believers. I also would like to impress upon us, upon all of us, if our responsibility as individuals, as members of one another, and of the importance of praying and searching our hearts in the face of God for the continuing building of the church. Brothers and sisters, this morning we could go into maybe some detail about how this may affect us. But I'm not sure there's a lot of value in that. But somehow, I would like to impress upon us the seriousness of this responsibility and our responsibility of choosing a brother from amongst us to fill this responsibility. Somehow, as it comes closer to that time and recognition of some of the changes that will take place, I recognize some of the blessings and the joys it has been to have served in this congregation. It hasn't always been that. There's also been some struggles. If I think of my failures and heartaches and disappointments that I experienced and caused you to experience along the way. But in spite of that, I'd like to praise God this morning for His love, His faithfulness, and it's very evident of His goodness and His mercy and evidence of His enabling grace in our lives together. And my prayer is that this may somehow, by the grace of God, continue. So I'd like to, as we read this, we're going to read the whole chapter, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 16. I've read this chapter numerous times the last several days. It's just been such a tremendous blessing as I think of all the instruction and challenges that Paul shared here with Timothy, and I believe are still here for us today. And as we look at this, a thought of Paul's love for Timothy. He addresses him in chapter 1, verse 2, as my own son in the faith. Then of all the instruction that he gave him, and reminding Timothy that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's sobering as we recognize that, and I think we are conscious of the fact that we are living in the last days. There is an enemy out to destroy the church and to undermine it and our souls as well. Then Paul ends the chapter by saying, take heed unto thyself. And I had to think not only of those of us who are ordained, but also we as fathers living in these last days, the importance of taking heed, the importance of taking heed and unto the doctrines in teaching them and passing them on. I never felt that I excelled in the area of teaching doctrine, encouraging doctrine, and why we believe what we do. And I think I fail in that area. But I thank God we have His Word. And as we band together and we search the Scriptures and we embrace them and we believe them, that we might continue to be faithful in the church. Then as I thought of some of the endeavors that we as a congregation are experiencing now and going through, for a time it seemed like we didn't have many in VS. Today, and I don't say this to the glory of man, I say it to the glory of God, that we have those in Ireland, in Bald Eagle, and in Thailand, and other places. And Sister Nyoma's getting ready to go to Thailand. And in this, in living among, I guess I can say it bluntly as it is, living among immorality, Brother Wendell will be going to a fresh start, where he will be living among men and boys that have real needs and struggles. And now Brother Linden going to Haiti in a new venture, and that hasn't been tried before, at least not to this degree, and be a certainly new venture for him. And I trust we as a congregation recognize as they go out that we're members one of another. We belong together. We're in the battle together of life, of sharing the gospel, and of uniting together, building the kingdom of God. And so as I think of this scripture this morning, that is maybe primarily wrote to ordained brethren, I believe all of us as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I believe we need to open ourselves this morning to the instruction that Paul had to Timothy. And I've entitled my message this morning simply from that last phrase in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. I believe it's a personal calling this morning, in this day that we're living, that we take heed of our life. We take heed of how we live. We take heed of that which we believe. We take heed of that which God asks of us, and we fight the battle together for the glory of God. And so my plea is this morning that this message can not only be focused on the one who will be ordained, or those already ordained, but on all of us together, our calling to serve God and to be faithful in the calling that He has called us to. As I think, we've had some teaching lately. Brother Elmer preached last Sunday on the church. And one of the things that I trust we'll never lose sight of, and that is the church is a body. It's made up of members, various members. And the Bible even tells us that some members don't seem so necessary, and yet they are necessary. They're all necessary for the purpose of the body being fitly joined together and united for the cause of Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. This morning, let's not lose vision of that. We are living in the last times, and I trust God will help us to recognize this. So I'd like to just challenge us this morning that this instruction is for Sister Nyoma, for Lyndon, for Wendell, but it's for all of us that we live the life, and we'll be talking more about that later. Right now, I'd like to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'd like to read the entire chapter. Paul seems to have such a variety of concerns and instructions for Timothy in this scripture in 16 verses. In chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put thee, brethren, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Then in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What a tremendous ending. What a challenge. Take heed unto thyself, Timothy, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That coincides with the scripture says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. What a tremendous blessing as we think of this scripture. In verse 1 it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times. We are in the latter times, and I believe that Timothy was in the latter times. In the NIV says for this verse 1 and 2, I believe it is, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from what we believe. They will follow lying spirits and teachings that come from demons. Verse 2, these teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be religious, but their conscience are dead. Someone made this statement. The last times begin with Christ's resurrection and will continue until his return. You know, right after the resurrection, Jesus' teaching and the apostles' teaching was that Christ is going to come back. He's going to return. And they warned of the last days, and we're still living in the last days. But the day will come when Christ will return. But praise be to God, the important thing is this morning that we are faithful unto the end. That Christ will return, and it's something to look forward to as we have a clean, clear conscience, and we walk with the Lord, and we look forward to seeing Him someday and being in His presence and being there forevermore. All right, Paul here writes to Timothy, and he talks about the warning of giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Then he says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I remember Brother Eli Yoder from Floyd County preaching over at Barterbrook Road quite a few years ago, and he made this statement. He said, sometimes we have to re-inform our conscience. But I believe it always needs to be re-informed by the Word of God and compared with that. And I think it's important for us to remember that. Then he says, This is some of the teaching that's taking place. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Maybe Lyndon and Noma will be facing some of that more than we do and wondering about it. But it says here very clearly, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Then he says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. God wants us to cry out to him. Then in verse 6 he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine wherein thou hast attained. As I look at this, Paul here is telling Timothy, he says that he should be nourished up in the words of faith and in good doctrine. But he says something further. He says, whereas thou hast already attained. He acknowledged that Timothy had attained, to a degree at least, the words of faith and good doctrine. But he also acknowledges to Timothy that he needs to continue to be faithful. And he needs to continue to grow in his relationship with God and in the things of God. He acknowledges that Timothy has attained. However, he continues to instruct him to further grow in the things of God. And I believe that message is for us yet today. As children of God, we never get to the place where we fully comprehend and understand the goodness of God and the ways of God. And we praise him for that. And I thank God for his faithfulness to us in spite of us. I love what he says here, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. In the words of faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in our Creator. And then in verse 7 he says, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. But there's things that we should refuse. We should not get dabbled up with. Sometimes we don't understand those things and we try to understand them. But I'll tell you, if it's things that are not pertaining to the things of God, it says, but refuse them, profane and all wise fable. But he tells us there's one thing that we are to do, and that we are to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Had the opportunity the other day to talk to a man that when he was a little boy, he was had polio. And he told me, he's probably my age or older, he told me that he understands, according to statistics, some of you know a little what polio is about, that state of Virginia had more percentage of polio than any other state, the way I understood him. But he said because his father, was a military man, he stayed with his grandparents. And he said, I'm here today because of my grandparents and their faithfulness to us. He said, every afternoon, my grandfather, he said, was a preacher of the gospel. They would put me in a chair there. And he said, my grandfather would read from the Bible. And my grandmother would massage me and rub my arms and my legs and would do therapy with me. And he said, the doctors told them, I will never walk. But he said, here I am because of my grandparents and their faithfulness to me. He said, I owe everything to my grandparents. And he said, after this procedure was all over, then my grandmother would give me a little money and she'd send me down the road about a half a mile to the store. And he said, I was to buy me a cookie and I was to bring her a Dr. Pepper. And he said he always did that. I'm not sure how long he continued that. But he said it wasn't until years later he discovered that he always carried the same Dr. Pepper home. That evening his grandfather would carry that Dr. Pepper back to the store. His grandmother never drank it. But it was simply used as a stimulation or an exercise for him. And so he would carry that home. Somebody else would carry it back. And the next day he carried it back home again as stimulate and exercise his muscles. And I just appreciated his testimony, and he kept saying, "It's because of my grandparents that I'm here." This morning, it's because of Jesus Christ that we're here. We're washed, we're born again. But it's also because of godly parents that many of us are here today, of their instruction and their exercising godliness and teaching us in the things of God. And also some of us, maybe there's some that did not have that privilege, but they did make a connection with Jesus Christ and experience a new birth and a new life in Christ. But now Paul is saying to Timothy, exercise thyself in godliness. And I trust we recognized the importance of that. But bodily, in verse 7, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8, but bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Can you think of more beautiful words than that? Having promise as we exercise ourselves into godliness. Brother Wendell talked about truth this morning and how we claim the promises of God in truth. And isn't it beautiful as we think about that? Having promise of the life that now is. Do you have the Christian life? Do you claim the promise and the blessings of God and His grace, His enabling? Do you claim that for your life? And then he says, having the promise of the life that now is. But there's something beyond this life. And he says, now is and of that which is to come. Think about it. Of that which is to come. I've been blessed recently. And in fact, I thought about sharing on that this morning. But then I felt led to this scripture. And that is just the very blessing and privilege do we have to know that this book is truth. Recently, I needed to put a message on the sign down there by 340. And it just came to me, and I don't even remember exactly what I put on, but I think I do. I said, thank you, God, that thy word is truth. And you know, that's been kind of ringing in my ears, that thy word is truth. Do I really believe that? That the word of God is truth. It affects the way I live. It motivates me. And it gives me the assurance that I have life in this life. But I also have the promise and the assurance that someday the skies are going to split open and my Savior is going to return. And I'll be there. I'll be there. And I also have the belief that many of those loved ones that we've known and had a relationship with in Christ, that they're there as well. And we'll meet someday together. And we'll be there forever. Again this morning, these two little babies that were up front here, they're alive. But they also have an eternal soul. Let's never lose that vision. As well as the children we bring here from off the streets. They all have eternal souls. God help us. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And of that which is to come. Then he says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Then he says, especially of those that believe. Especially of those that believe. And then Paul further tells Timothy, he says, these things you command them and you teach. You command them and you teach. What a blessing as we think of that. For wherefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Some of us, I don't think, have experienced too much reproach. or persecution, but I believe it may be coming, and yet I'm sure that there have been times when we faced things. But let's notice what he says. Paul was giving Timothy this promise. He said, if you're faithful, you are going to, therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. So let's not be ashamed of letting people know that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the living God, that He lives and lives forever, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Then he says, these things command and teach. Now in verse 12 he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now I know Paul here is talking to Timothy, but I'd just like to encourage you young people and all of us here present this morning that don't be afraid as a young person. Don't be ashamed to be identified with the people of God. Don't be ashamed to exercise in godliness. Rather than this, and I'm not saying some of these things are wrong in themselves. It does say profiteth little. But this morning I trust we're those that desire to profit much. And that we're interested in the things of God. But what encouragement it is this morning when young people are not ashamed to testify for God and to walk with Him and not ashamed to be identified with the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed to be separated from the world and identify with the people of God. This morning, it can be a beautiful experience. And I trust that's our desire. That we're not ashamed to identify with the people of God. And he says here, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. But he says, but be thou an example of the believers. And he mentions five things here, I believe. In word, maybe we could say in speech. And I know that's an area I've failed in many times. Be thou an example of the believer in speech. And I say this to the glory of God. This was a real adjustment for me when I moved to this community. To see people that watched their words far more than I had. And the people that I was around. And some of the apology after I stepped up to the counter as a young man. In a store maybe. Maybe they'd let some words fly. And when my presence came, they apologized. And that wasn't because of my life. That was because of the life of those before me. And that was a blessing and a challenge to me to watch my own words. Then in conversation or in the walk of life, those things that are important to me. Am I telling the world that I love Jesus? And that I enjoy living for Him. And it says in charity, in love. You know, it's been said about the Anabaptists, oh, how they must love one another. Would to God that we continue to grow in our love for God and for each other. Then he says, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This morning, I believe that challenge is not only for our young people, but it's for all of us. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we're living in an impure world. We're living in a world where there's a lot of talk about faith, but very little evidence that it is true faith. That people are living it. And they love the Lord Jesus. And they're trusting Him for salvation. For sustaining them. For delivering them. And they are looking forward to His return someday. I praise God this morning for that. So He says, be thou an example of the believers. Of the believers. In word. In conversation. In charity. In spirit. In faith and in purity. I don't believe we can separate these. I believe they are as one. I believe if we fail in purity, we fail in the others. But I praise God this morning for the forgiveness that we can experience. But in one way, and that is if we confess our sins. if we confess our sins. Then he says in verse 13, till I come. Timothy, I'm going to come visit you, but I want to give you a little instruction. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then he goes further and he says, Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyterian. I believe this morning, as we think of an ordination, if God calls, he'll enable. If God calls, he'll enable. If we are given to him. But I think there are also some things Paul would tell us to do. And that is that we give attention to reading, to recitation, to doctrine. And then in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Then he says in verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And Paul didn't say it here, but we have in other places. I believe it should be for the purpose of glorifying God. And I believe that's what he wanted Timothy to do. To be faithful, to meditate, and to give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Then in verse 16 he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's a couple more scriptures that I'd wanted to look at. I think we'll go back to verse 8, where it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. In Proverbs 12:28, it says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. In Proverbs 11, verse 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Now turn with me yet to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 through 28. I think we'll begin reading in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he answered and said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And then, this do, and thou shalt live. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Romans 5, verse 5 through 10. And hope maketh ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise be to God. Now I'd like to look at Luke chapter 18. It says we were talking about life. Now we'd like to look at eternal life. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Praise be to God. Now going to John chapter 3. Just a couple of verses here. John chapter 3. Verse 14 through 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then in verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This morning, Paul told Timothy, he said, in chapter 4, verse 16, Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt boast, save thyself and them that that hear thee. In closing, I'd like to encourage us this morning. I believe this scripture was for Timothy. I believe it's for the ordained, but I believe it's for all of us. We're all, I trust, in this journey of life. We are pursuing righteousness, holiness, and we thank God for the life that we can experience in Jesus Christ. And we're also those that recognize that someday we will bid farewell to this earth in which we live and we enjoy. There is a hereafter. Either we are going to experience eternity with Jesus Christ or eternal separation from Jesus Christ in hell, eternally. The Bible is very clear of that. But I praise God this morning. The provision has been made for us to experience victory, and to God has given us grace and strength and to live the life and to be victorious in this present evil world in which we live. And may God help us to be faithful even unto the end. So this morning, I'd like to encourage those that will be leaving us and going to the unknown. Remember, we are serving a known God, even though we don't fully comprehend and understand His ways. It is by faith that we need to continue the journey and be faithful unto the end. May God help us this morning. And let's each one of us personally, as children of God, take heed unto myself. Each one of us personally. And take heed to the calling of God and the calling of the church. And allow God to work in us and through us for His glory. Shall we kneel before the Lord? Our eternal righteous Father in heaven, we thank You and we praise You for Your love, for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You, Father, for Your manifestation of Your love through Your Son in so many ways. Thank You for this portion of Scripture. Thank You for the passion that Paul had to serve You and to ordain others and send them out to share the gospel message. Thank You, Father, for the instructions we find in Your Word of the building of the church. And Father, we recognize of ourselves, we cannot. But as You enable us and as You work in and through us, that the church, You said, You made the promise to us that it will not fail, but it will be faithful unto the end. Father, we thank you for each one present here this morning. Thank you for the work that you have done in our lives. And Father, we thank you for that which you will continue to do, revealing yourself strong. Father, our desire is to be faithful, to search our own lives, and to take heed unto the doctrines and the things that you have taught us in your word. We thank you this morning that thy word is truth, and it will never change, and endures unto the end. Thank you for each one present. Draw us to thyself, and glorify thyself. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.